I love it when a plan comes together.
Guns, self-defense, survival, current events, and your future.
Can't take me. Yeah!
We're rapidly approaching desperate times. Have you prepared your family physically, mentally, spiritually to face these times? The tyrant has overstepped his authority. What will you do when he comes to your door?
You can't take me.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, there's part of the problem, and here's going to be the other part. Okay, it ought to be getting better, and then one more here. I don't know how that happened, but there we go. All right, we should have sound now. 26th of May, welcome to the Shooting Bench again. And I can't believe that this month has just about blew a gasket here. It's just about done. So the some of the things that's happened here, it's only 2 weeks now till we'll be headed to Washington. And we'll have several things going on up here. Let me bring my calendar up here again so we can all be on this together. Okay, May is done. We got no more classes for May. June, we'll be headed to Washington on the 14th, and gonna get up there a little bit early and get things squared away here. 17th, 18th, and 19th will be the Yakima Arms Expo. Okay, Doc, we'll run a little bit over here and make sure we get a full hour in. The LFA Arms Expo, 17th, 18th, and 19th, on the 21st, Counter-Strike class, also in Yakima, 24th, 25th, and 26th, Personal Defense Handgun 3 in Marble, Washington. And then we're going to take a weekend off for 4th of July and have a little bit of family time. And then on the 9th, as you were, on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, we'll be doing a Personal Defense Handgun 3 class up in New Mexico, up north and east of Albuquerque a little bit, up in Santa Fe County. And 16th, I don't think there's any training going on. I had something else going on the 16th. I don't remember what it was. 23rd, we'll be doing a defensive handgun or defensive carbine class with Def Tech Academy here in Sholo. And on the... maybe that's it. Okay, I think that's it for now. We'll probably schedule something else for the last weekend in July. Just not sure what it's going to be yet. If any of you have a a hankering to host a class and get some training going in your area, get a hold of me. And it's pretty tough to get enough people committed to do this for me to go east of the Mississippi again. We have. We had classes in Ohio and I think we did one in Indiana, Jason and I. And let's see. I think that's all east of the Mississippi. So we'll have to have a pretty good turnout to go east of the Mississippi again. But I would love to go to Iowa. I've got a cousin up there, an Iowa cat, and I think there's one other person that's not on the not on Survival Circle up there in Iowa. So I wouldn't mind going up there and doing that, but still, nevertheless, I'd have to have quite a few people to justify that. But if you're in the western states and you want to get a class going, remember that you get the more expensive class you get, the more money you save. Because if you do all my footwork for me, get me a safe, legal place to shoot, and take care of everything, all I have to do is drive up, staple up targets, and do the class, then you get yours for free. That could be $1,000 worth of free training if we did something like Personal Defense Handgun 3 or Applied Dynamic Responses or something like that. You could get pretty good benefit out of that. So let me know. Okay, let's move on here to bigger and better things. There have been some changes made in, I had a guy on Facebook contacted me a little while ago, and we've been talking back and forth about changes in New Mexico. And just so everyone knows, and I'm not sure, I don't believe we have any New Mexico people in here tonight. Chat room's kind of slim. I don't see anybody from New Mexico in there tonight. But anyway, we'll go through that. And just real quickly, Rolex, no, I didn't know that. Not that I want one, but that is interesting. Rolex, for those of you not on the chat room, Rolex says that on 4th of July, CMP is going to be selling the first batch of 1911s from the government arsenal. That's very interesting, and I'm sure that's certainly desirable to a lot of the 1911 fans out there. And Rolex, I appreciate you sharing that with us here. Just real quick, some of the things that's changed in New Mexico are New Mexico residents now cannot carry on or they've made it clear that New Mexico residents cannot carry on an out-of-state permit. So New Mexico residents can't run and get an Arizona permit and then carry over there because it's cheaper, faster, and easier to get. They've changed that now. Now your Arizona permit or several other states, 20 something other states, are legal in New Mexico, but you have to be a resident of the state that your permit is from, or at least you have to be not a resident of New Mexico anyway. So, but New Mexico residents still could get an Arizona permit or a Florida permit. I see New Mexico has picked up Florida again. And that means that if they do that, they will pick up reciprocity from about an additional 10 states or 8 or 10 states above and beyond the New Mexico permit. So it's still not a bad idea. If you travel very much or travel to any of these other states, it might be beneficial for you. So stand by here just a minute because I've got a message coming in here from my lover, and I'm going to let you know right here when she's going to be on tonight. I mean, she's not going to be on tonight, when she's going to be on, period. Great. Okay, I may have to put a song on there. Flight's been delayed due to storms in Kansas, so she's going to be late getting in. Doggone it. Let's see. I may have to make a call to Sacramento here in a minute. Let me get with her. She's going to be back. She was supposed to be back probably late tomorrow night or first thing Saturday morning. Either way, she should be back on Monday. But give me a second here. We've got a kind of a little bit of an emergency going on. All right. I'll make that phone call here in just a minute. So you can get several different permits through this personal defense handgun series, through any of them, the first one, two, or three. So you can get you can get Arizona, you can get Florida. There's at least two counties in Colorado that you can get. And here before very long, I think I'm going to go ahead and break down. I didn't want to, but I think I'm going to break down and go ahead and get my New Mexico instructor permit again. And that will add to the number of permits that you can get through these classes. So let's see here. This is somewhat kind of related a little bit. Ohio now becomes the 25th state to accept a concealed carry permit in lieu of the Brady background checks when a gun. Arizona does that. And that's a neat thing. If you just walk in, tell the man, I want that one, fill out the 4473, pay him and walk out. You don't have to wait for a background check. They don't have to call anybody. And that's pretty handy when you're buying guns from a dealer. So, you know, if I don't make this phone call right now and help Amy out, she's going to have a conniption fit here, worrying about getting in her rental car. So I hope you will forgive me for a minute. I may have to play a couple of songs in a row here, but I need to get this taken care of. So I will visit with you. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
The grapes in Mary's vineyard are the sweetest on the vine. Old man Oscar Deal lives back in the Tennessee hill. He's got him two or three stills, and he makes heavy water. Oh, I worked for him one time, running sour mash across the line, and he wanted me to pay no mind to his three daughters. Yeah, one was 18 and one was 22, one was just my age. One by one I opened the door to the gilded cage. Yes, I did, now, but he don't know. The sweetest on the vine. Now old man Oscar Deal said he wouldn't hesitate to kill anybody messing around his steel or his three daughters. Even so late at night, when the moon wasn't shining too bright, sneak around, get brave, all right, sipping his heavy water. Yeah, one was 18 and one was 22, one was just my age. One by one I opened the door to the gilded cage. Yes, I did, now he don't know, and I ain't gonna tell what I've done one time, 'cause thanks he raised three little angels. I think that's fine. as I made love to his sweet mother, to pretty little Caroline. But the grain in Mary's vineyard are the sweetest on the vine. I made love to his sweet mother and pretty little Caroline. But the grain in Mary's vineyard are the sweetest on the vine.
There's no place that I'd rather be than right here with my fitness, white socks and blue ribbon beer.
The barmaid is mad 'cause some guy made a pass. The jukebox is playing there stand flat. The cigarette smoke kinda hangs in the air.
Rednecks, white socks and blue ribbon.
What the road really means. I'm gonna ride. Well, I love raining. I love raining. I love to hear the thunder. Watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night. Such a beautiful sight. I love to feel rain on my face. Taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shade. Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day. Cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night. But I love a rainy night. Ooh, ooh. I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder. Watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night. It's such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face. Taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow. But the song in this heart of mine. But the smile on my face every time. Cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've had this thing in Kansas is messing up the flight schedules here substantially. About an hour and a half on flights coming from that part of the country to get into Washington up in, I'm not sure where she's getting on, as Seattle or somewhere up there. So it's got her kind of stranded right now, so I had to make some different arrangements to get her a car, but I'm back. Sorry you had to have a little bit of Liberty Lounge there to hold us over, but one of those things, I guess, can't be helped. The dangers of live radio, I guess, better the pleasures of live radio or whatever. Okay, let's go on. There was something going on back here. What were we talking about? Had some AK discussion back here. I thought there was something I needed to chime in on, but evidently not. You know what? I tell you what, there is something I needed to chime in on, and it's too late right now. And that is, I remember Doc had mentioned doing, you know, it's not too late either, because we're going to run over a little bit tonight, remember? Because I was a little bit late getting going. So here we go. We were going to talk about single actions, single action revolvers, in the role of a defensive handgun in this day and age. So, ready, set, go. Let's talk about it. I've long held the idea that someone that is good with a single action is real good. You're probably not undergunned. The problem is the times have changed. While I would have supported one more in 1950, you know, 1970, as time keeps moving along here, we get the increasing likelihood of multiple targets, multiple assailants, or the very distinct possibility of one or two assailants, which I guess two is multiple, but on some type of mind-altering drug that makes them a little harder to put down. So the only problem with the single action is not the shooting, but the reloading. The capacity in the reloading, even if even on a double action, you've got to practice and be pretty sharp to take a speed loader, and most people don't even carry speed loaders when they're carrying a double action. If they carry anything at all, they either put it in, put a few loose rounds in their pocket, or carry speed strips, which is what I carry. Speed strips are pretty fast, but I don't think they're fast enough in this day and age, which is one of the reasons why I don't carry a revolver anymore. Revolvers are as good as they ever were, but so are the Model Ts. So is a horse and buggy. There's not a thing in the world wrong with them, but times have changed. When we need to get to Denver from Albuquerque for a meeting tomorrow, the Model T ain't going to cut it. So, and so goes it with the defensive handgun. There's now the dogs are barking. I'm going to have to go out and kill something. Damn it. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Shoot. But single actions are a little bit bulky, most of them. There's not any real good compact single action revolvers anymore, unless you get down to the Bearcats, you know, 22s and stuff. But, you know, they used to have these, I forgot what they called them, the sheriff's model, I think. Doc would probably know. But they used to have one that the barrel was cut off or unscrewed right up against the frame. And they had that strictly for a pocket gun because that's what they had. I mean, that they didn't have Smith & Wesson Model 10s or Taurus 85s or Glocks or whatever. So they did the best they could with what they had. Would I want to go up against one of them? Certainly not. Not with somebody that knew what they were doing. But in the length of time that the average person, Now, Doc is probably a little above average. I know I'm a little above average with a single action. But if you take people that just shoot routinely, recreationally, with a single action, even time between shots, all this old fanning crap that you see on TV, there wasn't a whole lot of that really went on. As a matter of fact, to the old Colt single action armies, that was extremely hard on them. The Colts had some very delicate parts in there that didn't stand up well to extensive fanning. The Ruger will, but if you're going to do that, you got to have one with no rear sights, because you cannot effectively fan that quick enough and accurately enough without tearing your hand all to pieces on the rear sight. So it needs to be something like a Vaquero or something like that with no rear sight on it. Fanning is for the average person is not particularly accurate anyway, but at close range it would work. I practiced that for a long time, and I never did quite get to a level where I thought it was feasible, you know, to use in the field. And I did a lot carry single action for a long time, but it was in a different role and a whole different environment. Whole different mindset than what I have today. If you're going to choose one, there's a couple of things that you should probably think about real hard. Now, like I said, they're big, bulky. Even the smaller ones are big and bulky compared to the little double action revolvers. So if you choose to carry one, I would get one with a short barrel. As a matter of fact, if I were going to do it, I would either find or create a little 38, maybe a Blackhawk. I might go with a Blackhawk, and I can shoot 38s in it if I wanted to, and cut that barrel down to probably 1 inch because of the overall length of the rest of the gun, and make it where it was somewhat manageable, maybe 2 inches. But, yeah, that could be another answer, Doc, is carry two of them. But then you got twice as many to reload. But if you did cut that down, then the one thing that you need to practice is going to be reloading. You're going to need to learn to shoot pretty quickly. And I would stay away from Colts. For that reason, because if you're shooting them that violently in that, of course they worked back in the old days. That's what they had. But fanning and shooting real fast and hard with them is hard on them. I'm very well aware that they lasted for years, for generations actually. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't certain delicate parts in them that were replaced routinely when people got rough with them. But there's a couple of things about reloading. Now, if you're fortunate enough to be able to find cover, you know, shoot 1, 2, 3 rounds, something like that, and be able to get to cover, then while you are taking advantage of that lull in the action there, if you're fortunate enough to be able to do that, then you should go ahead and pump out an empty, and don't pump out more than one empty. When you pump out an empty, put a full one in right behind it. Don't drop all however many empties you have and then come back and try to reload it. Because if something comes up in the middle of your reload, you're screwed. You're only going to have what you have. So take out an empty, replace it with a loaded round. This is another good role for the speed strips. You can effectively load a revolver, a single-action revolver, with a speed strip faster than you can get them out of your pocket. A wristband might be another good idea. Or some of them on your belt if you're carrying it concealed and you got a jacket or a vest over it or whatever. So that's your reloading is probably the single biggest thing. Time between shots, that just comes with experience, just practice. You can actually do it pretty quickly and pretty damn accurately with a little bit of practice. the reloading, even if you had to close your loading gate, cock it, and shoot, and you weren't finished yet, and you hit an empty or even two empties, you know that you just put another live one in there. You know there's one in there somewhere. Is it ideal? Hell no. Long ways from it. But it will do. If that's what you've got, learn how to shoot it. The other thing for reloading, it's a little bit awkward, but it's faster than reloading all six cylinders, and that is to have another cylinder made for your gun. Mountain Shooter, the Smith & Wesson number one, I believe, was a double action, wasn't it? But you could have another cylinder made for your gun. Ideally, you'd like to have something like a Blackhawk so that the axle pin does not come out. Under stress, you're going to lose it. So you want the axle pin to come out. If you have to drop that other cylinder on the ground for the time being, do it and get your extra cylinder in the gun. Get your axle pin back in. You're still looking at probably close to 5 seconds if you're pretty good. 4 or 5 seconds, but how long does it take to completely reload a single action? Whether you load them one at a time, drop an empty and put a new one in, drop an empty, put a new one in, drop an empty, put a new one in, or if you shoot all of them, drop them all out and replace them, you're probably looking at, 5, 7, 8 seconds, something like that. I've never really timed it. But whatever it is, it's not conducive to staying active in a firefight for very long. So there's things that you can do, and if you're stuck somewhere where you know that's what you find, that's what you have, that's what you're mandated by law that you have, or whatever the case is, make do with what you have. Don't cry about it. Just deal with it. Make it work. And I would say that in the overwhelming majority of the situations that you may get in, it would probably be quite adequate for that. As long as you don't get into something where you have, multiple assailants on you at the same time. You take even a 1911 with 7 or 8 shots. A Glock or a Beretta or something with 15, 17, 18 shots in it. Somebody that's tuned up and pretty sharp, you've got a pretty good chance of defeating multiple boneheads out there that are more brawn than brains. But for a single action, it's a little tough. Iowa Cat, it's not actually gun night. Thursday nights used to be. This just happened to be one of those nights when we got involved in some gun talk. I'm sorry about that. But we were talking before you came on. I would love to come to Iowa and do a class. I got some people up there I'd like to visit, including you. We said you still owe me a game of pool. So I need to come up here and do that. So get me a class lined up there and give me a good, safe, legal place to shoot and everything, and I'll be up there and we'll go out and hit the pool hall one night. And Doc, I'm glad to see you say that. He says that for all the people that carry these little North American Arms and several other little Derringers in 22s, 22 Magnums, 32s, and whatnot. There is no way. If you had one of those as a last ditch, last chance, all else has failed, backup type thing. I mean, it's kind of like sending a motorboat to back up a battleship, but to carry it as a primary weapon, I'd say not in your wildest nightmares. But look at the single actions. Let's see, it would be, probably if you wanted to carry something, probably if I really wanted to carry a single action, if I had that nostalgic drive that just insisted that I carry a single action, I would probably carry a cutoff single six in 22 Magnum. Cut that barrel down to 2 inches and replace the sight, have the rear sights removed and just a groove in the back of the receiver and a front sight to match that. And Iowa Cat, you better not let your alligator mouth overrun your hummingbird butt there. It's been a while since I played, but I still remember how. So I'd be tickled to death to come up there and play with you. The only reason I say that is not because of the effectiveness of the cartridge, but because of the size of the gun. If you were to get a curved hammer spur on there and get rid of the rear sights and go with the groove and the short barrel, it wouldn't be a terrible bad size gun to carry. The cylinders, the gun itself is slimmer. Wouldn't be totally out of the question to carry inside the pants, especially appendix style. And the extra cylinder, if you were to carry an extra cylinder for a reload, that would be, that's a little, quite a bit slimmer than the 38 or 357. So the it wouldn't be a bad deal. Like I say, probably 99% of everything that you think you're big enough to get into, that would probably be plenty of gun to do that. But in that once-in-a-lifetime situation where you get into four or five bad guys and you're all by your lonesome or just you and your honey, then I'd probably rather have something with a little more ambition to it, a little more firepower. But the other thing, you know, they don't make that I'm aware of. I'm sure you could adapt some and make it work, but to the best of my knowledge, they don't make any night sights for them. Not that night sights are incredibly necessary, but Yakima Glock, I am not the very least bit interested in any of those North American Arms revolvers or Derringers, or not in the least. I don't even have an interest in one to play with. I don't even want to. I have no. If the company disappeared off the face of the earth and all those guns went with it, you know what? I'd get up in the morning and I would never miss one of them. Wouldn't ever think another thing about it. I think those are jokes. They're gadgets. At the very best, I was misspeaking. There's no best about it. They are dangerous. If you want to go out and play with it intentionally and just go out and shoot tin cans out in the woods somewhere, okay, you can probably do that and be safe about it. But to work this gun as a working gun in a gunfight, no. It is too tiny. The they're too tiny, and they just the potential for shooting a finger off or something like that is just way too high to even consider them for anything but toys. They are too expensive for what they are. You know, if they were $50 and still had the same degree of quality that they have, they're not bad made guns. They're just kind of dumb. You know, for someone the size of my hands and you, Yakima Glock, with them big meat hooks you got, and you want to just think about some of the things that we did in Defensive Handgun 3, Personal Defense Handgun 3, the class that you took. What exactly would you do with that North American Arms revolver? I think you'd hurt yourself and probably somebody else. I have nothing good to say about them. Sorry. Just nothing at all. The Peanut Rider, you know, that was a neat deal that they used to have. I remember those. And ATF It's something to do with the ATF is why they don't make those anymore. But the wallet holster that was with that old High Standard had a big hole right in the center of it. And you could say, here, you want my wallet? Here. And pull that out, and your finger goes right through the center of that wallet. You don't have to take it out of the wallet. You just stick your finger in there and pull the trick. And it wasn't an all-bad idea, particularly for a backup. The way it was built, the gun was considerably bigger than the North American Arms guns. A little bit longer barrel. Shot a 22 Magnum. And it was a regular over and under type Derringer. And it was a pretty decently made gun. You know, a hell of a lot better deal. The wallet itself made it a better deal than the North American Arms gun because of you had something to get a hold of. The wallet filled your hand, and you could actually shoot those guns. I contemplated getting one. That was years ago. That was probably back about 1978 when I was thinking about getting one of those. Of course, that's all I did was think about it, and that's about as far as it went. But okay, well, let's see. What else we got to do with single actions? I can't... You know, another one that would be good, I think Ruger makes the single six style size gun in that little 32 H&R Magnum. That wouldn't be a bad deal. It wouldn't have the noise and recoil of the larger calibers, be a little bit more poop to it than a 22 Magnum. Of course, that 22 Magnum is, you know, I just, you know how I am. I'm with 22 Magnums like I am Glocks and AKs and stuff. That's, it's a hell of a round, hell of a round. Matter of fact, we took and shot one of the, military Kevlar helmets with that, and it damn near went through. The 40 caliber at point blank range put a little perfectly round little divot in it about a 16th of an inch deep and no indication of a bump of any kind on the inside of the helmet. The 45 basically bounced off and didn't hardly leave a mark. And the 22 Magnum actually tore just a little bit. Now this was from, was it 50 yards? You know, at point-blank range, you know, 10 feet or something like that, it may actually go through there. I've still got the helmet here. As a matter of fact, I saw it today when I was putting some stuff up. And people underestimate that 22 Magnum. When you look at that 22 caliber bullet, you know, 32, 40 grains, 35 grains, whatever it may be, at 2,000 feet a second or better, that's pretty damn serious medicine right there. The difference between, they should have named it something else because people get the idea that it is somehow related to a 22 long rifle, and it ain't. The 22 Magnum is so far apart from the 22 long rifle, it ain't funny. It's definitely not a toy gun. It's good enough for you know, big game hunting if you're careful with it. So don't ever underestimate that, and don't back off from getting one if you get a chance. That 22 Magnum is tough, but I'll tell you something else. In that Derringer or that little High Standard, North American Arms gun or any of those, even if you got a single action, single six, and cut that barrel down to 1 or 2 inches, I'll tell you one thing, it barks. In a short barrel, that damn thing is loud. Woo! Yeah, it's tough. Doc, I'm not sure if they still make the Ruger Blackhawk was made in 30 carbine, and I think you can still get them pretty easily. I'm not sure if they still make them, but there's lots of them out on the market right now. Not too hard to find at all. And I'm not sure that they don't still make them, to tell you the truth. I haven't checked on it for a while. 30 carbine's another one that's got a little bark to it. when you're, you know, out of a short barrel. But it's a neat little round. If you reload for it, the 30 carbine could be a great little defensive round. It's kind of anemic for other purposes, but out of a handgun with good, expanding bullets of some kind in it, you know, good hollow points, it could be a pretty good defensive gun. All right, let me go back here to the chat room and see what's going on. All right. I'm trying to think. I kind of just pulled this out of midair here because I didn't even think about it until we got to talking about running over a little bit. So I was grossly unprepared for this single action visitor here, but trying to think of something else that I can add to this. And yeah, boy, I don't know, Doc. I'd have to look that up. 30 carbine out of a rifle might give you 357 ballistics, but I don't know. I'd have to check on it. You may be right, but I'd have to check. 30 carbine's not a bad gun for whitetail and stuff like that. And I mean, it would work for elk as far as that goes. You just got to be a good sport and a good shot. Hell, I've seen enough elk killed with 22s to not to dispute that. But just because it something will kill something doesn't make it an elephant gun, or I mean, doesn't make it a whatever gun. You know, there's been a lot of elephants killed with 7mm Mausers. Does that make the 7mm Mauser an elephant gun? No. It makes the 460 Weatherby or you know, 577 Nitro or whatever an elephant gun. But it doesn't mean that these other ones won't work if you had to. The Iowa Cat, you're a good sport, sweetheart. I'm glad you hung in there with us. We're just about to wind down. I know we've put you through a terrible deal here, so we'll start easing towards the door here in a minute and let you get back to your pool game or whatever you're doing there. Yeah, I would get a kick out of coming out to Iowa, but like I was saying before you came on, in order for me to cross the Mississippi again with a class, it's going to have to be a pretty full class. I'm going to have 8, 10, 12 people lined up for the 3-day class. If it was a 2-day class, I could probably actually fly out and do it. Not that I like to fly anymore, but it's an option. But for the 3-day class, I got way too many props and stuff that has to be brought along to do that class effectively. Okay, well, I've just about overstayed my welcome here. And I'm glad you brought that up the other day, Doc. That was a good topic, talking about the single action for defensive purposes. And it'll be I wasn't even going to save tonight's show because so much music in it, but I think what I'll do is go and cut a bunch of that music out so we can save the other relevant discussion and go ahead and make a podcast out of it. The podcast is many, 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 many times more than than the live show, you know, the people on that room. So I try to get the shows cleaned up a little bit to sound on podcast. And for those of you, if you're, you know, new listener or whatever, you can find them by on podcast by the same name under the Shooting Bench, both in iTunes and at tsb.podbean.com, tangosierrabravo.podbean.com. And from Podbean, you can actually listen to the show, download the show, or subscribe to the podcast. From podbean.com. So you got several options there. Okay, well, I think with all that being said, I think what I'll do is get out of my nice warm chair and go in there with my daughter, whose last day of high school was today. And I told her I'd come in and watch a movie with her when we get done with the show. So I'll probably carry my computer in there and do it from the bar. I've got several things I still need to take care of, especially with this new class coming up in Albuquerque. So there you have it. All right. Let me find all my closing stuff here, and we're going to close this stuff and get on out of here. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge. Don't miss it. Fastest 2 hours on internet radio. No doubt about it. All right, Dwight, let's go with it. Now what's the problem? Boy, I swear, these people are... like, there you go. Wow. Listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern. Tune in again at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty.
And catch Living Way Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out, trivia, stories, tips, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival School Network.
Out here, way out.